going to read the Bible to us now. It's Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. It can be found on page 22 of the church Bibles.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
And if you have a Bible, it'd be good to have it open there. We don't like tests, do we? No, we don't, Steve, do we? No. MOT tests, if your car's old enough. I'm a little like Bod myself. They put their car through the MOT recently, and we're never hopeful it's going to get through. That we imagine at the end of the day, we're going to have to decide whether it's worth repairing. Is it better to scrap it and get something new? You get to a certain age and you can allow to drive a car. You can take a driving test to see if you can be allowed to do it alone on the streets of Kendal. A test to show that you can safely drive the car. All sorts of tests, isn't there? Swimming tests. I can remember that. Can you swim across the baths or can you swim down the baths? All kinds of tests. Can you do it? Will he get through? Will I pass or fail? Well, as we turn to Genesis 22 and we begin to read from verse 1, we see that sometime later God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your one and only son, whom you love, Isaac, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." A test for Abraham from God. And it's a shocking one. It's awful, isn't it? Terrible words. We're talking here of a parent killing a child, an only child, a child that's been longed for probably for 70 or more years. It's monstrous. What would Abraham have been thinking after years of struggle, years of hoping, years of trusting God for this son? He'd been given the child they dreamed of, the child that God had promised them, and now God wants them to kill him, to sacrifice him. But there's another consideration. God had promised Abraham and his descendants would be a great nation, and this would all happen through the son Isaac. And now God has told him to sacrifice this son, to kill him. Where's the sense in that? Will Abraham not be killing the promise that God has given him? Isaac is crucial to God's promise. Let's read on from verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. There we go. "Sorry, Isaac, I meant to bound you before I came, but I forgot. But there we go." Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac was in the dark about this, wasn't he? Did he struggle as Abraham tied him up? Was Abraham in floods of tears, in utter anguish, as he took the knife to kill him? We aren't told. But why does Abraham do it? What made him carry this through? What did we learn through the birth of Isaac? The string and the stone. God is faithful in keeping his promises. God is so big and so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. And so Abraham can trust God. He would have reasoned that as he plunged the knife into Isaac, God is faithful in keeping his promises. He is all powerful to bring them about. The promise was to be fulfilled through Isaac. So if Isaac needed to be brought back to life, then God would do it. But this is a test. "Will you trust me?" says God to Abraham. And Abraham does. Abraham has learned that God is faithful in keeping his promises and that he's powerful to make them happen. Let's read on from verse 11. The angel of the Lord called from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here," Abraham replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham has passed the test. Abraham fears God. Abraham has a right attitude to God, the one who is in control, the one who is powerful, the one who fulfills his promises. God is the one you can trust. Abraham has faith in God. And his faith is not a stab in the dark. Abraham had reasoned this out for himself. While killing Isaac looked crazy, Abraham has learned that God always does what he says. And God has promised that he will work through Isaac. And even in obedience to God, even if he kills him on this altar, somehow God will do it. Even if it means God has to raise Isaac from the dead, then that's what he'll do. Abraham's reasoned faith. He's got a good reason to trust God, and this leads him to a radical sacrifice, to radical obedience. The New Testament holds Abraham as an example for us, an example of faith in God. Faith in God. Obedience to his word leads to radical sacrifice. It tells us that our faith should work out in practice like Abraham's. Real faith, saving faith, genuine faith will be seen in radical sacrifice and in radical obedience. But Abraham and Sarah had the power of God and the promise of God displayed and worked out in their own lives. It was right in front of their eyes. They could be convinced of God's mighty power and faithfulness. But where do we look for the power of God and the promise of God fulfilled? Where are they that will help us in our faith to live radical, sacrificial lives for God? If our story was all about Abraham's faith, it could have stopped at verse 12 where we've stopped. God had set the test. And verse 12 tells us that Abraham had passed. Now I know that you fear God. But our story goes on. Let's read from verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by the horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Let's take Isaac off our sacrifice. There we go. God provides a ram for the sacrifice, a ram instead of Isaac, so that the promise that through Isaac, Abraham's descendants would become a great nation, the promise would be fulfilled. So God had provided a ram for the sacrifice, a ram instead of our Isaac, so that the promise that through Isaac, Abraham's descendants would become a great nation, God's promise would be fulfilled. God had provided a sacrifice so that his promise would be fulfilled. And as we've read this passage, you may have seen hints of Jesus. You may have seen Jesus peeping out through this story. As we read verse 2, God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love." Following Jesus' baptism by John, a voice from heaven was heard, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." In verse 8, Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for this burnt offering." John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming towards him, said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And as in the whole of this story, a son is to be sacrificed. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. God provided a sacrifice so that the promise could be fulfilled. And the promise that through your offspring, all nations on earth would be blessed. The blessing, sins of many taken away, the sins of the world taken away. Through the power of God at work in Abraham and Sarah's lives and the fulfilled promise of a son, Abraham had good reason to trust God, which led him to radical sacrifice of his son Isaac, or potentially. Where do we look for the displayed power of God and promise of God at work? Well, we look to Jesus and his death on the cross. It is there that we see the promise fulfilled. As Jesus himself said, When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, the descendant of Abraham, through whom all nations on earth will be blessed. And as Jesus suffers death on the cross, as he takes away the sins of the world, we see the power of God as he's raised from death, to be seated at the right hand of God the Father, all things under his authority. And that's what we reason with. As Abraham reasoned that if God could produce a child from two people well past their best to make his promise happen, that God could still make that promise happen even if Isaac, and God could still make that promise happen even if Isaac lay dead on the altar. Abraham reasoned that God is powerful and faithful. And like Abraham's faith, our faith is no stab in the dark. It's a reasoned faith, a considered faith. God has kept his promise in bringing blessing to the world through a descendant of Abraham, Jesus. In fact, it was his own son who was sacrificed, who died. There was no ram to be found in the thicket. Died to bring blessing to the world, taking away his sins and to remove God's wrath, God's anger on all those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And the power of God as Jesus is raised from the dead, showing the success of his death, sins taken away, the blessing has indeed come to the world. And as we ponder these things, we have good reason to put our trust in God and live sacrificial lives for him. As Abraham obeyed God's word and did what seemed crazy to this world, so the same for us. As we obey God's words, we can be radical, we can be crazy, move outside our comfort zones as we consider and become convinced of the power of God at work in the Lord Jesus and the promise of God fulfilled through him. How does that work out for us? I dropped into my inbox last night the France Mission Trust newsletter for August, and these things are happening in every church, but I just thought I'd run through these. Simon and Radia. I love this newsletter, but I just love it. But Simon and Radia, they're down in Marseille. They're working in the church, and they've just had a mission, but they realise that the need for gospel workers is great. Okay? And there is some people in Paris who are exploring whether to go and to move to Marseille to help in this gospel work. That's radical, isn't it? Not a better job, not a better home. They're thinking of moving to help Simon and Radia in this work. They're just overloaded with opportunities. There's Paul and Marjorie. They're about me and Fiona's age. They're working in France. I was going to try and say the name then, but I'm not going to. But they've been home. They've been home with family. And I love to have family around. I love when my children come round and we have a takeaway. But it's a joy, isn't it? But they've sacrificed that, haven't they? They've gone out into France to work in a small church. Radical, isn't it? Radical to me. And there's Chris and Colette. They're coming up to retirement too. But they're just thanking for people praying for them. And the other month there was an article about a guy in the Midlands who'd wanted to set up a prayer team praying for these people in France. And every month, three or four people get together and pray for these people. That's radical, isn't it? God's power at work. God faithful in here. And all these things happen in our church, aren't they? In churches round about. But that, it's radical. Let's carry on in our passage at verse 15 in chapter 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Not only is the angel reminding Abraham of God's promise given to him years before, but he is promising his promise. God does this to make it more certain for Abraham. I'm sure Abraham would have had doubts about the promise God had given him years before as Isaac was laid on the altar. And the angel's words are an encouragement to Abraham to hold firm in his faith in the God who called him. And I can't help feeling there is delight in these words. God is delighted in Abraham, who is serving, who in serving has learnt to trust God, knowing that God is powerful to do the impossible and he's faithful to keep his promise. So let us consider Jesus, his death and resurrection, the power of God at work in him, God's faithfulness in keeping his promise, and may our faith and actions be working together as we put our confidence in God.